The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And this month is Celiac Awareness Month. Around 78,000 people in Ireland are living with undiagnosed celiac disease. We're going to talk through this along with some of the symptoms now to keep an eye out for. I'm joined by dietitian with the Celiac Society of Ireland, Sarah Kyoser. You're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us. So many people living with this thing and they don't know it. And I think that would be surprising for a lot of people listening to this, because you always think, well, if you're celiac, you're going to know about it because there are going to be certain things that really don't agree with you.
So this is the thing. A lot of people would, like as you say, assume, sure, I'd know I'd have it. And I think, you know, 30 years ago, we used to talk about celiac disease as it turned up in children. You got lots of diarrhea, you got weight loss. It was very obvious. What we now know is that that is the really severe end of it in terms of symptoms. And it's usually where it has progressed. What we now know is that the symptoms can be outside of the gut. Really, an awful lot of them would be outside of the gut. And you can actually have celiac disease and have what looks like a perfectly healthy gut. So you can have things like mouth ulcers, poor tooth enamel, very specific skin rashes, hair loss, migraine and infertility can all be signs of celiac
infertility
disease.
Infertility as well.
That is. And that's one that I think gets missed a huge amount. And, you know, we don't see an awful lot of people being tested for that when fertility kind of comes up as an issue. But we know that men and women who are celiac, if they're not treated, both of them find it harder to become parents. And then if a woman has celiac disease and it's not treated, they can have several repeated miscarriages. They are more likely to have a stillborn baby, and they will have babies that are smaller for their age when they're born, which is, it means it's growth retardation in the womb for them.
People who are dealing with infertility, you're saying that it's not widely known that celiac disease might be a factor there?
Not to the extent that it should. And that's why the campaign with the Celiac Society this year is really asking people, have you ruled it out? You know, it might not be celiac disease. All of these things can be caused by something else, but have you ruled it out? What we would see in the Celiac Society is it takes an average of 14 years for people to be diagnosed with celiac disease from the first time they go to their doctor. And some people, we can see 20, 30 years of symptoms before somebody finally checked. So it's just rule it out. It's a blood test with your doctor. If you're having symptoms, particularly if you're struggling with fertility, make sure celiac disease has been ruled out for you.
So you may not have any digestive issues whatsoever.
Yep. About 40% of celiacs have no digestive issues, or they're so mild, it doesn't occur to them to go to the doctor. And what I would see is a lot of people who'd say, I have no symptoms. And then a year after, when we're reviewing them, they're like, I didn't realise it wasn't normal to be bloated. I didn't realise it wasn't normal to have diarrhoea twice a month. You know, stuff that they had just taken as normal.
Well, we're getting messages in from people telling us about their experience. So a listener says, I didn't realise how serious celiac disease was until my son was diagnosed at 13. His only symptoms at the time were low iron and he wasn't growing.
Yeah, so, and that's a thing we see a lot with children, is you'll see low iron, the not growing, and it actually often takes a long time for that to be spotted, because what happens for a lot of celiac kids is they stop growing up, but they don't actually lose weight. So if you look at them, they look perfectly healthy. And it's only when you do the growth chart. And what I'd always say to parents, when was the last time did you have to buy them shoes? Because I have two kids, when they were 5, 6, 7, you know, 13, you were buying them two pairs of shoes a year because they were just growing out of them. If a parent says to me, do you know what, they haven't grown out of shoes in a year, 18 months, 2 years, that's a child who's not growing. And that's where you have to go to the doctor and ask for the growth chart, not just an eyeball of, do they look okay? Are they actually tracking on their height and their weight for their age is really important to do. And celiac, I mean, it's a simple blood test, but it's not a standard blood test. People will tell me, oh, my doctor did bloods. Did they actually check for celiac? It's not a standard one that's done.
And is that the start then of the diagnostic process?
So that's the beginning. So in children, if the blood test is high enough, if it's 10 times over normal, that's pretty much diagnostic, although with a gastroenterologist to see it. With adults, we would follow with a biopsy, and the biopsy is the camera down endoscopy. And it's very important. Again, I'd have patients say, oh, I had the camera down, but sometimes they only went as far as the stomach and they didn't go into the small bowel and take the biopsy. So, you know, it's really important to make sure they took the four biopsies there when they were doing it. But for adults, we like to do the biopsy with that and really just confirm it.
Okay. And this listener whose son was diagnosed at 13, they're just saying how difficult his life has been, what a challenge it has been. So when he was a teenager, he couldn't go out and eat with his friends and have pizza and chips and all the rest. He couldn't eat school meals, can't eat at the canteen in college or work. Travelling is really hard.
Yeah.
Stomach issues now, even though he follows a strict diet. What is the treatment like and living with the disease?
So the only treatment at the moment is a strict gluten-free diet, and the emphasis is on strict. And what I work obviously the last 8 years with the Celiac Society, and I do the celiac clinic, and I would regularly see people who are still having symptoms. And when we go back in, there's usually just tiny bits of gluten. And it's a thing that a lot of people miss. Like if you're celiac, you have to be as strict as if you had a peanut allergy. Like tiny, tiny, tiny bits of gluten will be a problem. So people need a toaster that has never had ordinary bread in it. You know, if you have fried onion rings in a deep fat fryer, you can't then use that for chips because the oil has gluten in it and the gluten is going onto the chips. So it's really, that's where the difficulty, for example, with eating out is. And some restaurants are absolutely fantastic and it's definitely worth the conversation. Traveling can be difficult, you know, accessing things like gluten-free food at airports can be a real struggle for a lot of people. And I think the biggest thing is a lot of people think it's a fad. They think there was a very big gluten-free fad there about 10 years ago.
Yeah, and you know what? I was going to say to you, I've never seen as many items on menus and in shops that are gluten-free.
Yeah.
You know, because of that, because lots of people decided that they weren't eating gluten for no reason, really.
Well, you know, fads come and go. But like, I think it's kind of done two things. The fad did increase the number of gluten-free products available, but it also led a lot of people to roll their eyes when someone says, I'm celiac, because they often equate them as being a lifestyle choice. Now, you can have a non-celiac gluten intolerance. It's a very definite thing. But for celiac, it's definitely not a lifestyle choice. And I can tell you, hand on heart, all of the members of the Celiac Society would only love to be able to sit down and have a pizza or bread or go out to a restaurant and not worry about what has touched their food on the way in and out. They would be thrilled and delighted. So, you know, I think they deserve a huge dose of understanding.
But if you're not celiac, can you have gluten? If you're not celiac, should you have a gluten-free diet?
It doesn't seem to matter one way or the other. Now, some people will have non-celiac gluten intolerance, which seems to be a different reaction to gluten and often comes with some other allergies and things like that as well. But what I find is most people that I work with who would say, oh, I'm non-celiac gluten intolerant, what happened was when they were tested for celiac, they weren't eating gluten. And you absolutely have to be eating gluten for at least 6 weeks before you have the celiac test. Otherwise, it does come back negative. So if anyone is listening and thinking they're celiac, don't say to yourself, I'll cut out the gluten and see how I feel. Don't do that. You never cut out the gluten until you've had the celiac test. So what I would find, we often do a thing called a gluten challenge, where if someone is able to bring the gluten back in for 6 weeks, then test. And I find most of the time my non-celiac gluten intolerant patients turn out to be celiac. Now, not always. We've definitely got what I will call very genuine people who do need to avoid gluten, even though it's not celiac disease. Mm-hmm.
So a listener says they suffer from psoriasis and have mild digestive symptoms from things like white bread or chips, like bloating type symptoms. Could these be connected to celiac disease?
Very definitely. We would see, so with celiac disease, because it's an autoimmune disease, we see a lot of other autoimmune diseases with it. And probably the most common one is psoriasis. And a lot of our members will find their psoriasis improves. Now, it doesn't go away, but improves on the gluten-free diet. The other skin rash that's very common is one that turns up on the outside of both elbows and the outside of both knees. And it's a blistery, really, really itchy skin rash. And that's a big celiac sign. But the amount of people who've had that for 10 years before anybody checked for celiac with it. And I'd often get people in the clinic and they're in because they're just diagnosed and, you know, you're going up any other medical history and they roll up their sleeves and go, I've had this weird rash for the last...
And you like, go, okay, bingo,
we've had that all the time with it.
Okay, so in terms of getting more information then, or where do you start? It seems as though you start with the blood test, but if people want to read more information, Sarah, where should they go?
So we have loads of information on our website at celiac.ie. We're on Instagram at Celiac Ireland. We've lots of posts on that, so definitely follow us there. And that also gives people information about events that we're running throughout the month and throughout the year with that. But you can also contact us directly. Our email is info@celiac.ie, and we've people there who'll be able to respond to you, give us a ring, send us an email, DM us on Instagram with that. You know, it's been brilliant to be able to have the whole month this year, and we're delighted that Promise Gluten Free have been sponsoring for us again this year, which is great. But there's so much information out there, and we run a celiac clinic. I run the clinic there. We do a lot of events for adults, for children. We have chef and food advisor to give people advice about. You know, we do catering training and really just the support for people with celiac disease that they need.
Because it's a big lifestyle adjustment, isn't it?
It's a huge change. And what's interesting in Italy now, they are now testing every single child in Italy for celiac disease. They're the first country to step up and go, it's time to do it, because we miss so many, and we think it's about 1 in 50 people in Ireland have celiac disease.
Would you like to see that happening here?
Would love to see that happening here. I think it's definitely time to do it. And I think once we get the first results from the Italian screening, I'd say in the next 10 years, we'll start to see it in countries around the world.
Sarah, thank you very much for coming in. That is Sarah Keo, who is a registered dietitian with the Celiac Society of Ireland.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.